Holy Spirit, we invite you this morning to come and make your your word real to us. Lift up Jesus, we pray, and help us to hear what you are saying to the church and to each of us individually. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could put up the first, thank you. How many of you are apprenticed to Jesus this morning? Only some of you. None of you are disciples of Jesus. Come on. Who's a disciple? Who's apprenticed to Jesus? Okay. He's our Lord. We're following him. And so we're having a look at various practices that Jesus practiced. We had a look at Sabbath earlier in the year, which has made a very big difference to many lives in this church that we've heard about. And now we're looking at the prayer practice. And last week, Doug introduced it by talking about the fact that there were four different things we're going to look at. And he dealt with talking to God and used the Lord's Prayer as the example. And Harvey, everybody got that on a flyer, I think, as far as I remember. As I was sitting there, I remembered. If they're new people and you'd like me to send it to you on WhatsApp or bring a hard copy, I can next week. All right. And so today we are going to focus on the second one, which is talking with God. Slightly different. The very first Christian book I ever read in my life when I was 15, when I gave my life to Jesus, was a book about prayer. And it was called Prayer, Conversing with God, by a lady called Rosalind Rinker. It's a very old book. I don't know if it's still in print. And I don't remember anything about the book except her definition of prayer, which was that prayer is the expression of the human heart in conversation with God. And I've never forgotten that, and I feel it's so very, very profound. It's actually so simple. Anyone can pray. Anyone can talk with God, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, whether you haven't got many words, you can talk with God, express your heart to God. So here's the question. Why do we need to keep prayer conversational? Talk about it in your group, around your table. You've got a minute. Why do we need to keep prayer conversational? Okay, that's about a minute. Everybody still wants to talk. Okay, Phil, what did your table come up with? Why should we keep prayer conversational? Yes. Yes. All right. And God is relational, isn't he? He's a person. It's not like when you pray, you're talking to some image. Okay? God is a person, and he's relational. And when you're in relationship with someone, you talk to them. You talk with them. They talk with you. God is not some impersonal being that says, thou shalt pray and better perform. It's not like that. God is real. He's authentic. We must be authentic in our Christian life and talk with God, converse with him. Okay, so today I'm going to attempt to unpack two aspects of talking with God. And I want to say up front that I have not arrived when it comes to prayer. I don't consider myself a prayer warrior, as some people do. I don't consider myself an intercessor, as some people do. I have two friends who are phenomenal intercessors, and I'm not an intercessor. But I'm discovering always and learning We need to keep learning. We need to continue being fat Christians. Do you know what a fat Christian is? An F-A-T Christian is a faithful, available, and teachable Christian. A fat Christian. Faithful, available, and teachable. So let's learn something about prayer, all of us, including me today. So one aspect of talking with God is this. It's gratitude that we're going to focus on today. Talking with God about what's good in your life and in your world. And the other is this, lament. Talking with God about what is evil or ugly or unpleasant in your life and in the world around you. So those two aspects are the things we're going to look at. So gratitude, first of all. And here's the question. How do you see your life? Do you see your life as a gift? Or do you think the world around you owes you one? Owes you recognition? Owes you favor? Owes you blessings? Owes you rights? How do you see your life? Your answer and mine to that question lies at the very heart of our relationship with God. Gratitude is the primary way. Sorry, I left out a word. Gratitude is the primary way we relate to God, who has given us life as a gift. Are we saying thank you? Did Jesus say thank you? Yes, he did. We're looking at his prayer practice, and we're copying him, okay? We're following him. So Jesus did give thanks. Do you remember the time there were all those crowds of people before him, at least 5,000 men, besides women and children, and they were hungry. What did he do? He took the loaves and he took the fish. The Bible says he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks and he broke them. And he gave them to his disciples. He set a wonderful example. I wonder if that miracle would have happened if he hadn't looked up to heaven and given thanks for this wonderful gift of this miracle that was going to feed all those people. We need to be thankful. The same, he did exactly the same when it came to feeding the 4,000. He also looked up to heaven, gave thanks, and fed all the multitude that was there before him. And then at the brink of one of the most amazing miracles ever that Jesus did, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Remember that? No, that had never happened before. Most incredible miracle. There they were standing with these people before this tomb with a dead man who'd been dead for 4 years. For 4 days inside the tomb. All right? Inside the tomb. And what did Jesus do? He looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Very special. And on went the miracle, and he called Lazarus out of the tomb. And then at the Passover meal, we have another example. He took the cup, and he said, gave thanks. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks. Prayers of thanks were very much a part of Jesus' life. Now, there's a fellow called Ignatius. Anybody here got a friend called Ignatius? You have, Benny. Good. It's not a common name. And he was a man who lived in the 1500s in Spain in a place called Loyola. His name was Ignatius of Loyola, and he was a Spanish Catholic priest. And he had this to say. He said, ingratitude, which is the opposite of gratitude, in other words, not giving thanks, is the failure to recognize the good things, the graces, and the gifts received. As such, ingratitude is the cause, beginning, and origin of all evil and sin. That's quite a statement. Do you agree with it? Let's look at scripture. I'm not going to put it up on the screen because it's quite a long scripture. It's from Romans chapter 1, if you're taking notes or got your Bible and want to look at it. So I'll read it to you. Romans chapter 1, from verse 10 to verse 26. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who do what? Who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God, because he's made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God has made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began, here it comes, the downward slide. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, instead they became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshipped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. And the chilling verse comes now. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. What a terrible place to be, God abandoning you to your shameful desires. And I think that it was those scriptures probably that caused Ignatius of Loyola to talk about ingratitude being the cause, beginning, and origin of all evil and sin. Even though people knew God, they would not worship him as God or even do the simple thing of giving thanks, because they didn't see their life as a gift from God. And the rest of that chapter describes the very slippery slide into more and more evil, sin, and shame. The Bible is very up to date, isn't it, in its description of modern 2023 society, much like Romans chapter 1. In fact, if you have a look at 2 Timothy 3 verse 2, if you want to take a note of that scripture, it talks about the behavior of people in the end times. And right next to things like brutality, we've seen enough of that on TV, haven't we? Treachery is ungratefulness. It's a sign of the times, ungratefulness. People are so involved with themselves, their own importance, and what they think is right, that they're not grateful out there in the world. It's the example that we have before us all the time. So giving thanks is so important. When I was about 4 or 5, I think it was, I got a book, and I've hunted my house down for this book. I've had this book for over 70 years. Do you think I could find it? I saw it about a month ago. Can't find it now. But it was a book that I treasured and was called A Child's Grace. It had most magnificent photographs in it, but it was surrounding that grace. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. But that's not the only verse. There were about 5 other verses that went to it. And I remember one particular one. It was, thank you, God, for Father's hand. And the picture of this man's long arm with his hand and a wedding ring on it was this hand, left hand, and a little child holding the hand. And it could have been a photograph of my own father's arm and hand. It was so the likeness was just there. And I really treasured that page so much as a child. Thank you, God, for my father's hand. And, you know, even if we don't have a loving earthly father, we have a loving heavenly father, as I've said before. Have you ever said, thank you, Father, for keeping your hand on my life? So that book shaped me in many, many ways. And I've wanted to replicate it with my own grandchildren's pictures and things in it and my own words, which I have permission to do. But I must just find the book. Yeah. There's always something to say thank you for, isn't there? I make it a daily practice. Rob and I started this years ago. Before I go to sleep every night, to say thank you for 10 things in the day. 10 different things, different from yesterday. It's not hard to find them. Maybe it's a smile that somebody gave you that day, and you remember it. Or it's something beautiful you noticed or saw maybe the details of a little flower in your garden. It could be a nourishing conversation you had. Could be a safe journey. Could be an answer to prayer. Could be a meaningful discussion or an uplifting scripture you read or an encouraging verse that somebody sent you on WhatsApp or somebody who just phoned you just when you needed it. Not hard to find 10 things. So before I read my book and switch off the lights, I always say thank you to God for 10 different things. And I'd encourage you to do the same because it changes your life and your whole outlook by saying thank you. It takes your eyes off yourself and puts them onto and takes them off your issues and what you're grappling with and puts them onto God who's given you all these good things. In fact, keeping thankful can actually break the downward spiral of resentment, bitterness, depression, despair. Thank you breaks those spirals. Try it. It works. It's also a great way to start a quiet time with the Lord. Psalm 100 says, enter into his gates. Gates open into something, don't they? So it's a good time to start your quiet time with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you, Lord, that you're my Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you're alive. You've risen from the... So many things you can say thank you to God for. It just brings you into his presence and then into his courts with praise. Okay, so it's a wonderful way to start a quiet time. And I find that as I start to say thank you for things, you're talking with God, and he's reminding me of things that have happened in my day that I can say thank you for. And we know that every good and perfect thing is from above, from the Father of lights, it says, with whom there's no shifting shadow in James chapter 1, verse 17. But every good thing in your life comes from only one place, and that's from the Father. So God is good. Direct your heart and your thoughts towards that fact and see your life as a gift from God. What did Jesus say? He said, I'm come that you might have life. Life more abundantly. Life in all its fullness. Do you love God this morning? Are you called by him? Then know that in Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Are you rejoicing in God's goodness? Praying without ceasing, which I think really means just keeping your heart directed to God and giving thanks in everything because that's his will for you in Christ Jesus. That's how he wants us to live our lives. And I want to read that in this J.B. Phillips version. Might find it easier to think about. Be happy in your faith at all times. Never stop praying. Be thankful, whatever the circumstances may be. If you follow this advice, you will be working out the will of God expressed to you in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful way to live your life in thanksgiving. Even when things go bad, even when, Marv, you get a puncture in your wheel. Both Marv and I got punctures in our car tires when we stopped at the Muggleton's house after home group. And we don't think it was an accident either. They were slashed. And we both had punctures. We still have to thank the Lord for, not for the puncture, but thank him. He hasn't changed. He's still good. And we personally had as I stopped the car in the middle of Howick, another car with young people in it, a man and a woman, came and stopped right behind me, put their lights on. Guess what? He was a mechanic, fixed that tire in 3 minutes, and a night security vehicle drove up and went in front of me, had a great big fat pistol. If anybody was getting dark, if anybody had tried to attack us, he would have sorted him out. So God, even in those negative circumstances, we can still say thank you to the Lord. Okay, now what about lament? Talking with God about what is evil or ugly or unpleasant in your life and in the world. I confess I've got lots to learn in this area. It's really about praying the emotions in your heart. And it's a very emotionally healthy way of processing your life with God in prayer. Did Jesus pray prayers of lament? Yes, he did. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? His disciples were there. They recorded what happened. And he told his disciples that his soul was crushed with grief to the point of death. And they heard him cry out, "My Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me." Those were very big emotions in Jesus' heart that he prayed that time. And then how about on the cross? My God, why? It's not wrong to ask God why. It isn't. Sometimes at funerals where there's been illness, maybe due to cancer, and children have battled to accept it, they think they can't ask why. You can. Jesus did. He never sinned. It's not wrong to ask why. But isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus didn't only ask why? He also said, "Father, into your hands I commit." In this case, it was his spirit. We can ask why, and we can say, "Father, into your hands I commit these negative circumstances," whatever they might be. Sometimes it feels that God is absent. Sometimes it feels that he's unfair. Sometimes it feels that he's just silent. He's not listening. But he is. He's good. Just feels like that. Sometimes the sun is not shining. Why? Because it's on the other side of the world. But it comes up in the morning. Okay? God is good. He doesn't stop being good. And we can talk with God honestly about our pain. We can talk with him about the chaos that's in our life and in the world. We can talk with him about the things that cause us to feel deep emotions, like disappointment, frustration, confusion, anger. We can talk to God about them. We can talk with God about all these things, searching for understanding and peace in the midst of suffering, in the midst of despair, in the midst of hopelessness, in the midst of depression, in the midst of injustice or oppression or discouraging circumstances. And if you want to know more about prayers of lament, 2/3 of the Psalms are full of them. Okay, King David's prayers of lament. "My soul is disquieted within me." Okay, he was talking with God about his life. Psalm 12, Psalm 13, if you want to, you can remember those as they got low numbers. Even though David was a king, his life was not plain sailing. He had powerful political enemies. And life was hard for David, for King David. And so he used to express his emotions out there to God. He probably couldn't share them with very many other people. Being a king is a lonely place. And so he shared his emotions with God. And then C.S. Lewis had a very interesting comment to make. He said, "Lay before God what is in us, not what ought to be in us." I think sometimes in the Christian life we have a lot of oughts. We think we ought to be behaving in this way. We ought to be praying in that way. We ought not to say this to God. Or God is not like that. He wants you to be real. And so he wants to hear what is in us, the authentic you, and not what ought to be in you. So you can talk to God about anything. Talk with him about anything. Share your life with him. And then lastly, I just want to share a quote by Anne Voskamp. She said this: "Lament is a cry of belief in a good God, a God who has his ear to our hearts, a God who transfigures the ugly into beauty." That's the God we're talking with. So whether we are talking about the good things or all these negative things, whether it's a prayer of gratitude or a prayer of lament, let your prayer be a conversation with God. Shall we pray? Father, we confess that there are times when we don't feel like saying thank you because we're so emotional. And Lord, sometimes we just need to talk with you about those things and then make it a practice of saying thank you for all the things that you have done and all the things that you are doing and all the things that you will do. Help us, please, to see our lives as gifts from you, from your good heart, to us. In Jesus' name, amen.